I'm so glad to be with you this afternoon. Vance Pittman and I have been rolling together probably since the early 2000s, and we've been in and out of a lot of different things together. We've got seen God do some really cool things in a lot of different places. And last night before he spoke, he walked over to me, he goes, "Look around, these are our people." And I want to tell you, when I look across this room, I want to tell you what I see about my people. We're diverse, we're young, we're old. We got some really gifted men and some really gifted women in this room. Vance, we got a great group of people. I'm so proud to be part of the Send Network. This is a powerful group, but we got to stick together. We got to stick together. You know, as I study the passages of the Bible, especially the New Testament, one of the things that jumps off the pages over and over is the premium that God places on unity and kingdom collaboration. There is this call for the followers of Jesus to stick together, to work together. And that's one of the things I love about the Send Network. Sticking together is a value. We are a family united by a mission. We are a family of churches planting churches everywhere for everyone. John chapter 17, as Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure from this world, he prayed that his disciples would stick together. He said, "I pray that they will be one." In the book of Ephesians, We are commanded to prioritize unity and sticking together. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." Now, unfortunately, from the church's earliest days, we see this ugly issue of disunity just kind of creeping up consistently in the church. You get into Acts chapter 6 and we see the church growing rapidly, and all of a sudden you see this conflict rise up between the Greek-speaking believers and the Hebrew-speaking believers, because the Greeks felt that their widows were being discriminated against each other in the area of care and food distribution. Later on, you get into Acts chapter 15 and we see this strong disagreement take place between Paul and Barnabas, which leads them to go their separate ways. And then you get into Paul's letter to the church of Corinth, and it was actually a rebuke to them because there was a lack of order in their worship services. They were actually misusing their spiritual gifts. So there was this lack of love towards one another. And so there was all of this conflict and disunity. And quite honestly, I could go on and on and on, but here's the truth. The Bible has a lot to say about the importance of unity and sticking together. The importance of sticking together for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Here's the bottom line. We need each other. We need each other. I love what you say about this, Vance. Biblical missiology demands kingdom collaboration. In 2017, the church that I pastor, Westridge Church, along with a few of our other church plants, we got involved in the nation of Scotland. We've already planted one church in Livingston, Scotland, outside of Edinburgh in 2018. And just recently, our former executive pastor and his wife, they just launched our second church plant, which actually just started last month, Take Hold Church in Edinburgh. But since 2017, I've spent a lot of time studying the history of the church and the history of revivals in the nation of Scotland. Quite honestly, it's fascinating. Here's a fun fact. Scotland has had more revivals than any other nation in history. But here's a sad fact. Today, less than 1% of that nation claims to have had a salvation experience. And this decline has happened just in the past 60 to 70 years. And so the question that I've wrestled with over and over is why? And here's the answer that I've come to. It's because the Christian church in Scotland is fractured. For 2 years, from 2018, 2019 into 20, I went back and forth to Scotland to host meetings with leaders of some of the top denominational Christian denominations in the nation to discuss what would it look like if we all just got together in this nation and we planted churches together. I took a guy with me by the name of Mac Lake, which you might have heard of. One of our church planting pastor, Kevin Dunlap, who's over here, took him with me. A bunch of other really smart guys. We got in a room and we just created this whole plan. And we sat at this big long table off of the Royal Mile, Edinburgh, and we said, "Listen, all right, let's talk about this. We've been talking about it for 2 years. Let's make this happen." But when it came right down to it, they would not work together. And when you listen to the reasons, I'm telling you, it was heartbreaking. It was petty stuff. I left the room. I walked back to my hotel on Princess Street, and I just literally had tears running down my face. This is a nation that has had the highest suicide rate and drug problem amongst all young adults in all of Europe. This is a nation that has some of the most progressive LGBTQ plus laws in of all countries in the world. The people of Scotland have actually been classified as an unreached people group. Now, why in the world am I talking about Scotland here in Texas? Well, because when I'm there, I see a foreshadowing of where we are headed as a nation. Think about North America. Think about what has divided our church just over the past 3 years. I mean, all you have to do is go to Twitter and it's all right there. I mean, the role of women in the church is dividing us. Who knew that Beth Moore would be such a lightning rod for division? The role of politics in the church, the role of the issue of race in the church. If you were pastoring in 2020, I promise you, you got beat up over vaccines, masks, social distancing, or whether you shut your church down or not. I mean, for years, we argued about exegetical or expository or topical or reformed or Arminian or traditional thoughts about salvation. Listen, Satan loves it when the church is disunified. He loves it when we're fighting over things. He loves to chum the waters with divisiveness, and then he likes to watch pastors just take the bait and attack one another. If you don't believe all of this infighting and disunity is not impacting our witness, let me just give you a real-life example. When my wife and I moved to Dallas, Georgia back in 1997, 26 years ago, to start Westridge Church, according to SBC data, our county, Paulding County, was 93.7% unchurched, and yet at the same time, it was the sixth fastest growing county in the country. When I heard that number of unreached people, I'm like, okay, I'm really suspicious about that. So there were just churches on every single corner, it seemed to me. So before we ever launched our church, my team and I and a bunch of college students, we surveyed door to door over 2,000 homes. And we just wanted to find out, I mean, are these numbers true? Do people actually go to church? And if they don't go to church, why don't they go to church? And guess what we found out? About 93% of the people that we surveyed didn't go to church in Dallas, Georgia, 32 miles from downtown Atlanta. And the overwhelming reason why they didn't go to church centered around conflict and disunity amongst church people and the fact that there were so many church splits going on in our community at that same time. 3 months after we planted our church, there was an SBC pastor in our community, in a well-known Baptist church. He walked into my office and he challenged me to a fist fight. Vance, I beat that man like a rented mule. No, I didn't. We didn't fight. Trust me. I wanted to. All right. Let me tell you why I said yes to being the vice president of strategies and development when Vance Pittman asked me last year. Because I believe in the potential of the local church. I believe in churches planting churches. I believe in the potential of this room. I believe with all my heart that the best chance that we have to see the kingdom of God advance in this country will be existing churches planting new churches in partnership with the Send Network. It's the best shot that we've got. But here's the only way it's gonna happen. We have to stick together. We gotta work together. If we're gonna see the gospel planted, we're gonna see the kingdom of God advanced in the cities and states of our nation, then this room has to stick together. We have to champion the cause of unity. There needs to be a commitment amongst us that we will pray for one another, that we will support one another, that we'll care for one another, that we'll invest financially in what we're doing together, that we'll partner together for a cause greater than just planting our own church. In the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul's writing to a church in Philippi that was dealing with some possible division in the church. There were false teachers coming into the church from the outside. All kinds of potential for division. There were two women that were having a disagreement in the church, and it was impacting the unity in the body, and people were fractured. They began to take sides. And so Paul is addressing this unity by encouraging this church to come together, to be unified, to stick together. And he says, listen, if we're going to stick together, then together we have to build upon the right foundation. Now, what does that look like? Well, let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Apostle Paul writes, he says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, let me stop there. What's happening here? Paul is making a case for these believers to stick together. He is laying a foundation for harmony and unity. Now, look at the phrases he's using. They all start with the word if. The word if can be translated since. And Paul is writing about realities, not possibilities. He's telling these believers, here's what you've experienced. He says, you've been encouraged by being united with Christ. In other words, you are in Christ. He said, you have been comforted by his love. In other words, God loves you. There's this common sharing, this fellowship with the Spirit. In other words, you have been indwelt. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. And as a result of all of that, now there is this tenderness and compassion. In other words, the Holy Spirit has produced inside of us a concern and love for one another. And Paul says, since all of that is true, he says, we got to stick together. Regardless of what has come against you, regardless of what has caused you to be divided or what's in front of us that may create conflict, when you are in Christ, when you are loved by God, when you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and you are committed to love and concern for one another, you have the right foundation for unity. Paul's saying, listen, we have what it takes. We have what it takes. We have all that we need to get the job done. And all of those things that we have that God has gifted us with should motivate us to stick together and to be unified. Now, this is important. Paul's not talking here about uniformity. There's a difference. He's talking about putting aside petty differences, putting aside the things that divide us so that we can come together around the foundational things that unite us. He's laying a foundation for the church to stick together and to be committed to one another. I want you to just think about sports teams for a moment. I mean, we're sitting here in the nation of Texas right here today, right? This is football country. I played high school football 14 miles from here in South Arlington back in the 80s. A football team, listen, it's united not because everyone on the team plays the same position or has the same talents or the same abilities or even believes the same thing about the game of football. That would be uniformity. A football team is united and it works together because they have the same goal. They want to win a state championship. They want to win a national championship. Listen, our goal should be so much grander than winning a national football championship. Our goal is to advance the kingdom of God. We've been called to stick together for the advancement of the kingdom. And we have everything that we need to get the job done. We have the right foundation to build upon. We are in Christ. We are loved by God. We are indwelt by the Spirit. And all of that is producing a concern and love for one another. And then Paul says, since we have everything that we need to stick together and we're unified, then we have to work for it. We got to pursue it. He says we have to pursue unity. Why? Because it doesn't come naturally for us. Sometimes we get a little fleshy, don't we? Sometimes we get a little selfish. And Paul says, listen, since you have the right foundation, then you have to pursue unity. Look at verse 2. He says, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Paul says, listen, you got to have the right attitude. He says, we have to be like-minded. Sticking together requires us to be selfless. We have to put aside our own agendas to work together for a greater agenda. When we planted Westridge Church in 1997, there was a big move toward planting a church to see really how big you could grow a church. And the whole philosophy was buy as much land as possible and build as big as possible. I worked at Thomas Road Baptist Church for Jerry Falwell Sr. There is a difference between those two Jerry Falwells. I worked for the senior one. And that's what I grew up under. That's what was modeled for me. That's what I was trained in. There was no talk of multiplication. There was no talk of churches working together to reach a community or a city. It was just literally parachute into a city, conquer and dominate. And our church got into church planting and multiplication because God just gave me a fresh understanding of the kingdom of God in the summer of 2002. I just got wrecked at a conference that I was at around the kingdom of God. Vance and I had a mutual mentor by the name of Bob Roberts, who actually pastored for years here in Fort Worth, that literally just taught us about the kingdom of God. And you wanna know something? When I really understood it, when it really got inside here, it just wrecked me. It was a game changer. And I went back home and I literally just flipped our church upside down. Listen, if we are going to truly see the kingdom of God advance and become a reality in North America, we have to have a new breed of church planter that is like-minded around the idea of unity and sticking together for the advancement of the kingdom of God. They have to be selfless. We gotta be selfless. Since 2015, the church I pastor, Westridge, we've been the lead partner church for the cities of Detroit and Boston. I love both cities. I'm actually from Detroit. But there's something about the work that's being done in Boston, I'm telling you, just moves me. I love being up there. There's this sense of brotherhood and this sense of unity that's just so inspiring. And what I see from these guys is they are selflessly putting their own agendas aside because they're like-minded about reaching greater Boston. Their theme up there is in Boston as it is in heaven. They're pursuing unity by being selfless and like-minded in one of the most unreached, unchurched cities in our whole country. And God is like, I mean, he's pouring a fresh wind into the city of Boston. Here's another way you can pursue unity. Paul says we have to have the same love. Now, this is simple, but it's huge. If we're gonna be unified and stick together, we have to love one another. Look around this room for a moment. Aren't you glad we're so different? Aren't you glad we look different? We come from different places, but we gotta love one another. Listen to the emphasis that Jesus puts on love. In John chapter 13, verse 35, he says, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you do what? If you love one another." Jesus said, this is how the world will actually know that you are following me, that you are imitating my life, if you love one another. And love and unity go hand in hand. And when they're working together, listen, they are contagious, they're attractive, and they inspire hope and faith. One of the church planters that we work with up in outside of Detroit, actually in Windsor, Canada, is a guy named Garth Leno. 2022, he lost his daughter who had extreme special needs. She was in her 30s. Her name is Jamie. He lost her just very tragically. Such a huge influence in their church. I mean, people were coming to church as a result of Jamie's life, and she passed away. And I watched the churches of Canada and Detroit just rally around Garth and his wife, Patty. It was one of the most beautiful expressions of the church that I have ever witnessed in my life. They just carried this family. And that's what we need to be. That's the kind of love that we need to be having for one another. When one of you are hurting, when two of you are hurting, this whole room should come together and just circle the wagons around that one family until they get back on their feet and are able to roll again, like they did the Lenos. That's what this network's about. Pursuing unity, being like-minded, same love, and then Paul says, we gotta be of one spirit. Literally, that means that our souls are together. Our souls are knit together in love by the Holy Spirit. Our souls, our hearts are beating in unison. There is unity in our attitude. How many of you have ever been to a Major League Baseball game before? Listen, I live in Atlanta. We've had a lot of racial tension over the last several years, especially the last 3 years. But I want to tell you something. Go to a Braves game sometime. There is no racial tension in that stadium. People's souls are knit together. Hearts are beating in unison. Everyone is doing the tomahawk chop. There is unity. Everyone has chosen to be in one spirit and in one mind. And as much as I love it, listen, it's baseball. It's just baseball. Think of what could happen if we could bring our souls together for the sake of the kingdom. Think if we could come together with that same spirit, that same unity, if we could knit our souls together, if we could bring our hearts together for the advancement of the kingdom and put aside all this petty stuff. And then Paul says we have to be of one mind. That means that we are thinking one thing. We are striving towards one goal, one purpose. We are united in heart and soul and mind. You say, why is this so important? Why does God place such a huge and high priority on unity? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't work in disunity. Where there is disunity, where there is division, the Holy Spirit disengages. But where there is unity, the Spirit finds himself at home. Plus, Paul says, when you're like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one mind, he says, you're just gonna experience more joy. In other words, you're just gonna have more fun together. When we're on the same page, our hearts are knitted together, our souls are knitted together, we're working together, we're just gonna have a whole lot more fun together. Now, I don't know if anyone's ever told you yet, but church planning is hard. Church planning is a grind. And it's not for the weak at heart. I was just texting with our church planner in Scotland. You talk about a tough place to plant a church. They are grinding. I'll be honest with you, outside of raising two boys, this is the hardest thing. Church planning is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. But I can tell you this firsthand, it's a whole lot more fun together when you're working alongside other people when you're working alongside other planners, when you're part of a network like this. It's so much better when you're part of a family. Listen, you can make it when you are part of a band of brothers, when your wives have support and friendship, and when you know that you're a part of a tribe where everyone is on the same page and everyone has made a commitment to stick together. But you gotta pursue it. It's not just gonna come naturally to us. Matter of fact, I think it doesn't come naturally to us. We have to make a choice. We have to make it a priority that we will pursue this, that we will lean into this, that we will get beyond the pettiness, that we will work for it, and we will work hard to stick together. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 14, verse 19. He says, so then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. What's Paul telling us to pursue? He said, pursue the things that make for peace. Pursue the building up of one another. He's describing unity. And Paul says, not only do we need to have the right attitude, which is peace, but he says, we need to have the right actions, which is all about building one another up. That's unity. So if we're gonna stick together, we have to have the right foundation. We've got that, right? We've got it, we're in Christ. We've got the love of God. We're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's compelling us to love one another. If we're gonna stick together, we gotta pursue it. We know what that looks like. But then Paul says, we've gotta work together. We actually gotta roll up our sleeves a bit and we gotta work together. Look at verse 3 and 4. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. In other words, if we're going to be able to work together, here's what we have to do. We have to say no and yes to the right things. We have to say no to selfish ambition and vain conceit. We just have to make up our minds. You know what? That's just not gonna be part of my life. It's not gonna be part of my ministry. It's not gonna be part of my pursuits. Listen, selfish ambition is the attitude that says, what's in this for me? It's a desire to advance yourself over others. Vain conceit says, who's noticing me? Listen, it's empty, proud self-esteem. And both of those attitudes kill unity. They squelch the goal of togetherness. And both of those mindsets fly in the face of the attitude of Jesus. Both of those things stop the progression and the advancement of the kingdom of God. And quite honestly, and I hate to say this, I've been doing this for 36 years, 35 years. There's too much of it in the world of ministry today. Selfish ambition, vain conceit. And that's why Paul makes a radical statement. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Do nothing out of vain conceit. He says, say no to those things. Die to those things. Die to self so you can say no to those things. And then he says, but we have to say yes to a couple of other things. The importance of others and the interest of others. Now I'm gonna give you the key to the whole thing, and Paul lays it out for us. It's humility. I wanna tell you something. When you choose to live a life of humility, you choose to regard others more important than yourselves. When you see a person in need, and you see a need in the life of another person, you regard it as a greater need than a need that you have in your own life. Humility of mind cultivates that kind of thinking. It makes you deliberately and consistently look out for other people. It makes you desire to work together. It's the glue that will allow us to stick together. As I said just a moment ago, I've been in full-time ministry for 35 years. I've been a senior pastor for 26 years. Some of the most insecure, prideful rooms I've ever been in are rooms full of senior pastors. And it grieves me to say that. But here's the deal, it makes sense, doesn't it? Because most senior pastors, especially church planters, are competitive, A-type, success-driven people. I'm still just blown away that God chooses to use us. But when you put all of those people in the room together, guess what's going through everyone's mind so often? Wonder who's got the biggest church. Wonder who had the most growth last year. Wonder who had the biggest budget, the biggest building. Wonder who's got the biggest ministry platform. And the church world has celebrated all of those things year after year after year after year. And listen, it is tough to stick together and say yes to the importance of others and the interest of others when that's the mindset. And Paul says, rather than that, he says, in humility, value others above yourself. Listen, I believe with all my heart that humility will be the key that will allow us to stick together. Humility will be the key that will allow us to work together. Humility will be the key to our unity. Humility will be the key that allows the Holy Spirit to blow a wind into the sails of this movement called the Send Network. Here's what I personally learned about humility. You can either choose it or God will choose it for you. Peter gives a really good word about choosing humility. He says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, he says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to the elders. All of you clothe yourselves with what? Humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may what? Lift you up in due time. Listen, South Gathering, listen to me. If we're gonna be unified as a network, if we're gonna stick together to push through the darkness that's currently going on in our nation and all over our world, if God is gonna use us to advance the kingdom of God, then we have to clothe ourselves in humility towards one another. Because if we're filled with pride, if we allow it to creep into our lives and into this room and into our churches and into our network, Peter says, God will oppose us. But if we choose to be humble, if we choose humility, we will receive God's favor. Pew Research poll recently, 12% decline in those claiming to be Christians in our nation from 2009 to 2019. At the same time, there's been a 17% increase in those who claim to be either atheists, agnostics, or those checking the box, none. And as you know, those numbers have accelerated over the past few years. But I believe with all my heart that we have a chance in this room to turn the tide. I believe it with all my heart, but our mindset has to change. Our hearts have to change. We don't need just a new model for how to do church. We need Christ to create inside of us a new mindset, a new heart. For what's at stake, listen, we need to be willing to do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. So that why? So that we can stick together. So that we'll be unified. And who is our model for all of this? Paul's telling us right here. It's Jesus. He's our model. He went before us to show it, to show us how to do it, to how to get it done. And what was his mindset? Humility. I want to ask you to bow your head for just a moment. As we move into a time of praying for each other, it is tough because I have been in rooms like this for 36, 35 plus years. Sometimes it's tough to be in a room like this when you're looking around. You don't want to, but you're sizing the room up a little bit, trying to figure out where you fit in. Over the last few days, you might have felt some insecurity, some flesh creeping up inside of you, some doubt, some worry, some anxiety, that old nature. And you're like, really? This is what I'm dealing with today? The South Gathering? I came here to get encouraged. I came here to get lifted up, and I'm dealing with stuff. I want to encourage you right now because Jesus has showed us the way to just say, Lord, I humble myself. I just humble myself. I've got the right foundation to get it done. I don't deserve it, but I'm in Christ. God, I don't deserve this, but you love me. And you've indwelt me with your Holy Spirit. So I got everything I need, Lord, to pursue unity, to love one another, to drop the flesh, to drop my sin, to drop it all, Lord. And I just humble myself, Lord. And Lord, I wanna pursue it. I wanna be known for being that person that pursues unity. So here's what I've gotta do. I've gotta have the right mind. I've gotta be one in spirit, one in mind, same love. And so, Lord, some of the pettiness that I allow to creep into my own life, I want to put it aside. Some of the things that maybe even I've been part of that's created division, I just want to put it aside for a bigger goal, for a bigger pursuit, the advancement of the kingdom of God. You may have to repent of a few things right now. And for the sake of what's at stake, to say, Lord, I want to work with this room. I want to work with this network. So, Lord, in order to do that, I'm going to have to say no to some things. Vain conceit, selfish ambition. Lord, I take those things. I put them behind me. I die to self right now. I die to self. And I say yes to the importance of others, to loving one another. But Lord, because I don't want to have this chosen for me, I choose humility right now. I choose humility. And Holy Spirit, teach me how to live this out every single day. Help me to be known as a humble leader, a humble pastor. Help me not to care about the things that the church world has measured in the past. Lord, all I want the measurement to be is, Lord, am I reflecting the life and the image and the attitude of Jesus? Do people truly see him when they look at me? Does the Holy Spirit flow out of me? Am I known for being a bridge builder, a reconciler, a unifier? That's my heart. That's my pursuit, Lord. Help me to do that, because I don't have that in myself. I need your Spirit to fill me to do that.